Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you and I praise you tonight, and I give you all honor and I give you all glory. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and in you and through you all things are possible. And you are truly the God of the impossible. And Father, there's many situations, even in this little church, that seem like impossible to the people. But Father, you can change those things. And Father, I just thank you that you are changing them. You are bringing everything full circle around as you promised. And every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is upon this church. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're gonna have a guest speaker tonight on a video. But I happened to turn my news wasn't working on my computer, so Larry fixed it for me. And when I turned it on, the first thing I saw was out in California where the fires are, how it's still very devastating, just destroying everything in sight. But it also showed where the fire had already gone through and burnt the houses. And like, you know, all you see is a chimney standing or something like that. And the people were hanging stockings on these chimneys out there in the open with no house. And they were putting up Christmas trees. And they were decorating their burnt up yards and houses because they said they wanted to keep the Christmas spirit alive even though they had lost everything. I hope that makes you feel bad. I really do hope that makes you feel bad. Because we're so selfish and self-centered. Am I going to get this? Am I going to get that? Or how come you got more than I got? And all that kind of stuff. But when I saw that, I thought that was so awesome. And they were doing it with a smile on their face, and they were happy, you know, putting their little stockings up on the fireplace and putting up their Christmas trees and decorating them. And you guys just don't get it. You don't. You're too selfish and too self-centered. Let's get it this year. God said that he wanted this to be a Christmas of joy unspeakable. And, you know, I just hope you find it in your heart to find that joy of God and keep it. And don't let Satan take it away from you. You know, when God told me to quit my job, you know, I had a very good job at the college. I made very good money, and I didn't have no wants, no needs. You know, all my needs were met because of my job. And then one day after I started preaching, God said, "I want you to quit your job." And I said, "You want me to do what?" Because, see, the church wasn't paying me anything. They still don't. But God said, and it took me, I think, 6 months to decide to quit my job. Because I always sat down and counted the cost. The cost was terrible. And so finally I quit my job. Well, God said, "Daughter, if you'll quit your job, your secular job," he said, "my paycheck will be more than the world could ever write you." So finally I decided to quit my job. And then today, of all days, I was laying on the bed putting Isaiah down for his nap, and God put it in my heart that, you know, because God, I'm still not getting a paycheck after 30 years, okay? And so God said, "Daughter, I have given you more than the world can give you." He says, "I've given you souls." He said, "I've given you my son." He said, "The world can't give you a paycheck like that." Are you listening? So if you're all looking for a paycheck, that is not really what God's talking about. He's talking about all the lost souls out there that you'll be able to bring into his kingdom. He's talking about what you're going to receive one day when you go to heaven to sit in heavenly places with the Father. It has nothing whatsoever to do with money. Eye opener. So his paycheck is more. The world can't write me the paycheck that he writes me. The world cannot give me lost souls. The Lord cannot give me the love that I have from God. Lord, the world cannot give me peace. I hope you're getting this tonight. And you know, some of you need to understand that I'm going to read a scripture that's going to cover this. Some of you need to understand that, you know, all right, so God might have given you a job you don't like. And you just can't understand why God would do that to you. Well, did you ever think you was like Moses on the backside of the desert? That God was testing you to see if you would do what he told you to do with a smile on your face? You know, if you want, you know, you should be able to do your job with joy and with peace. You should be, thank God you have a job. There's a lot of people out there don't have jobs. There was people in there this morning that don't have a home. I mean, it was their own making, but still, no, they don't have a home. And they would love to have, they would love to take your job that you thought was no good. Are you understanding this? Come on, let's go back now to what God told me about myself. We're going to read Acts 3, 1 through 21. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, you know, this is a crippled man laid at the gate, and fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them, like silver and gold, right? Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with him, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now let's stop there. See, what they gave him, you know, the healing of his legs was so much better than a piece of coin put into his little bucket. And this is what God was telling me, daughter, what you can give the people is so much more than what the world was giving to you. You know, we have healing. You know, I've seen the dead raised. I've seen so many miracles, and God's used me to do so many wonderful, great things. The world could not give that to me. So quit. What God wants you to do is quit looking at what the world can give you. Quit looking for a paycheck from the world and start looking to the Father, what he can give you. And what he can give you is from everlasting to everlasting. And whatever he gives to you, you're always satisfied. You always have more than enough. Are you understanding? And you know, whenever we said this morning, like Jesus, you know, all he had when he died was his clothes and his back. You know, we're looking for some great big building. He never had a big building. He just had all the miracles with inside of his bosom that he gave to the people. So much more than better than a big building. Are you listening? You know, God showed me, or showed somebody, you know, a praise and worship team, and I've been praying for that. I don't pray for that no more, because what we have is enough. You know, now I don't have a bunch of people fighting among themselves. I have enough of that. And I don't need an praise and worship team. And believe me, a praise and worship team can drive you up a wall. I used to have one. They were good, but they used to drive me up a wall arguing who's better than the other. I don't need that. God supplies. Amen. And verse 13 says, I think that's 13, no, 11. Now as a lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. The people were greatly amazed. Verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? See, they were praising him, and he said, don't do that. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. He said, it was this Jesus that you crucified that caused this young man to walk. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. In his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, and as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And this is what God is asking you and I to do. He's asking you and I to receive Jesus Christ for who he is. Not somebody who can just dish out money and dole out money to you. On one of the videos tonight that I'm going to show, I think his name's Todd White, isn't it? Todd White, I want you to really pay attention to whenever the homeless man came and talked to him of who it truly was. In the first video we're going to watch about Todd White, he's given his testimony to Sid Roth. And I want you to listen very carefully to what he says to Sid Roth about his life. I'm playing these videos because God placed me in my presence. I thought it was a song I was going to listen to, and here was this guy giving his testimony, so I know that was God. You people need to understand what walking with God's all about, because you really don't. You want God to do things your way, and God doesn't do things your way. God does things his way. You want to dictate to God what he needs to do, and you don't dictate to God. You know, if God has given you a promise, and you can hold that promise up before him, and you can say, God, you said. You know, and you can get a little bit belligerent with him, saying, I want it done now, and he'll tell you, that's too bad. You know, he'll do it in his timing, but you can, if God has spoken something to you, it is going to come to pass. It just is in his timing. All right. Now, you know, when God called me, everything he told me I was going to do, you know, I didn't know any of what I'm teaching you then. And I was taught by the Holy Spirit, but everything he ever told me came to pass. And so whenever everything came to pass, he said, now there's a new thing I'm taking you into. And when he started in this new 40-year period, you know, I was amazed. I didn't understand what he was doing with us. I still don't in its entirety, but I do in a little bit. But all I can do is trust God, hold his hand, and keep on going. And I'm going to tell you right now, if God has called you to do something, you need to stay there until God opens another door for you to walk into. Believe me, I know I don't walk into a door unless I know that I know that I know that God has said the door's open, walk through it. Too many people sitting in this church, you walk through doors that you open, and in what's on the other side of that door is not God, and you get in a whole lot of trouble, and then you blame God. And you need to stop this. You need to grow up in Christ, be who he's called you to be, and quit trying to be who you want to be. We are all supposed to be witnesses for Christ, but are we? You know, are we really witnesses? You need to ask yourself that every day, okay, what I just did, is it a witness for Christ? Every time you do something, you should ask yourself that. Every time you open your mouth and say something, was that God speaking through me, or was that just me? Amen. Sometimes when God speaks through me, I wish he wouldn't. Because I'm saying, God, be quiet, be quiet. I don't want to go there. But he wants to go there. So I'm a vessel, said, God, use me any way you want to use me. And so he can speak whatever he wants to through me. And see, but you have to know that you are God's. You have to know that you are led by the Holy Spirit. And you have to know that God has total and complete control of your mouth. Then you just let him use you. And don't walk in deception that you're all that and then some. I'm so glad to say I never knew what God was doing through me. I just didn't know all this stuff. I was telling Brother Christopher Gore just about a week ago, 40 years I spent walking with God, seeing one miracle after another, never understanding how anointed I truly was. And I think that's a God thing, because I could have got puffed up in pride. I could have done a whole lot. I don't think I would have, but I don't know, because, you know, I just don't know. And I'm so glad that God kept me ignorant of the anointing, even though he used me mightily. And I'm so glad he's always done everything he's done to me and for me. And now I'm hearing him say, you are on the precipice of one of the greatest walks with me you're ever going to walk. 40 years I've walked this out. Well, from 1977, I think it's 40 years. Now, so you've walked 2, 3, 5 years, and you think you get all mad at God because you don't have the world by the tail. You're not ready to be used by God. You know, you think, well, I've done this for, look, I can really speak. You know, a lot of you in here can really speak. I can. It's only God through me that speaks. But, you know, that what does that make you? It doesn't make you a true child of God. I'm gifted. I can write a book. Big whoop. I'm not gifted. I can't write a book. I tried, but he said, I'm going to write one, but I don't know when it's going to be. Brother Christopher wrote one for me. It was my stuff, but he put it in a book form. But, you know, don't sit around and think, you know, well, I'm a great administrator. Are you really? If you're always judging somebody else, always looking down your nose, you can do something better than somebody else. You're not a great administrator. You're you, being who you are. Stupid. If you're a great administrator, you'll be walking in the love of God, and you have a peace of God, and you'll bring peace wherever you go, and you won't ever downgrade anybody else. You will always try to encourage them to do better. So we're going to watch Todd White. I want you to listen to this because this is important. God wants you guys to listen to this tonight. It's nothing new, but to you, say, wow, listen to what he said, because Pastor Barbara didn't know what she was talking about. But he's going to say the same thing, but he's going to say it through his lips, all right? Go ahead, Nancy, first video.
For 8.5 months, you wouldn't go in public with me. I don't want to share how breakthrough happened.
Sure.
Okay, so one day, my wife says to me, she says, I'm going to go to the grocery store with you today. I said, no way. She goes, but I will not be with you in the store. You will go to one side, I will go to another. You'll get your things, I will get my things. You have a debit card, I have a debit card, we'll meet in the car. Do not take long. She goes, the only reason I'm going is so you don't take long, because I want to get this thing done. So it's 8.5 months in, she's never went. Destiny, my daughter, is freaking out because my wife has never wanted to go to public in public with us. So we go, I shop, there's a problem. I see a lady in a scooter that needs prayer, and my wife is in the store, so I forget that she's in the store because we're on one side, she's on the other. So we go up to this lady and ask her if we can pray. And she goes, I pray, honey. I watch a certain evangelist on TV. She goes, and I pray every night. I go, but you're hurting still. Her granddaughter's with her. I said, what happened to you? Is it your knees or what is it? I didn't have a word of knowledge. She said, 27 years ago, I had 4 back surgeries. She said, and I've been crippled since then. She cannot bend up straight, and her back is fused straight like this in a seated position because of the pain. And I said, can we please pray for you? And she won't let me. So I looked at her granddaughter, and I said, do you want to have your grandma play with you again? And her granddaughter's the same age as my daughter. Her granddaughter looked at her and she goes, yes, I do. And grandma looks at me like, I can't believe you just did that. Like, why would you bring my granddaughter into this? I said, please let us pray for you. So she lets us pray, not without rebuttal, but she lets us pray. We pray for this lady. She's in the chair. I ask her to get out of the chair just to see. And so she says, honey, I'm in severe pain. My granddaughter had to drive the scooter to the car to get me into the scooter. I go, please. She goes, grandma, please check your back. Her granddaughter, who's not a Christian. She gets up. She stands. She's bent over. She's shaking. And I said, come on, let's pray again. So we prayed again. And all of a sudden, I felt something move underneath my hand. And this lady that's been fused for 27 years, she stands up and she starts moving around. Her granddaughter's like, oh, grandma. And grandma's like, she's crying. She's like, oh, I don't know what's going on. And the granddaughter looks at grandma. She goes, grandma, run. And so grandma goes, run, I can hardly walk. She goes, come on. And she grabs her grandma's hand. Yeah. And they run to the end of the aisle. And my daughter and I are there, and I'm crying my eyes out because this is a miracle, dude. It's what God does because he's a miracle-working God. She comes back, and she comes back to me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This lady's crying. Yes, granddaughter's so thankful that she has her grandma because she's never, ever been able to play with her grandma because her grandma's been like that for 27 years, man. Now she ran with her grandma for the first time in her whole life, dude. That, to me, is everything. My wife comes in the aisle, and we're in the middle of the aisle, and I look down, and I see my wife, and she's just looking at me, shaking her head. My daughter's like, a lady looks at me, and she goes, what's wrong? And I said, no, nothing. That's my best friend down there. So can you please go tell my wife what just happened? Her name's Jackie. So the lady goes, I absolutely will. She goes, I can walk. She stood up, walked down. My wife's so angry, man. This lady's coming down. Destiny's behind me. Dad, what's mom doing? I said, she's really mad right now. Really, really mad, honey. I said, pray for mama. The granddaughter's looking at me like, why is she mad? I said, it's okay. She just doesn't understand. But everything's about to change. I'm prophesying and declaring what's going to happen. And this woman's coming down, talking to my wife. My wife looking at me like, I can't believe you're telling her to talk to me. And I know what she's thinking. Then she talks to her, and all of a sudden my wife looks at her, looks at me. She bursts into tears, holds this lady. They're crying, and I'm like, Destiny, mom's crying. She goes, why is she crying? I said, because she's hugging the lady right now. Wow. She's hugging her. And my daughter's like, oh my gosh, Dad, this is amazing. The grandma comes up. She comes up. My wife won't talk to me. She's sobbing. She is a weeping, sobbing mess. I'm sobbing. I hug this lady. The granddaughter drives the scooter out. We get home. I unpack the groceries. She doesn't say a word to me, and I don't say anything because I don't want to mess this up, man, because God's doing it. He's the one. He's doing it. I go back to the bedroom. I'm crying on my bed for probably an hour and a half, just sobbing. I come out. My wife is on the couch still crying. I ask, what happened? And she said, God spoke to me. I said, what did he say? Because he's never spoken to my wife. She said, he told me that you just believe him, that it really hasn't been you. It's been him in you that's been doing these things, she said. And who am I to stand in the way of God? So we held each other, and the persecution was ended at that moment. Yeah. But it was 8.5 months of hell, like for her, because she didn't understand. And if you would just break through, and if you would just believe the gospel and press in and not be concerned about other people around you, as you are concerned with your relationship with Christ, let that be your principal and your primary concern.
Well, that's the first time I've seen that one. That isn't the one I thought we was watching, but that was very, very good. He has a very good idea at the end. And how many times have I told you, take your eyes off those around about you and let God do what he wants to do through you?
We got off the plane to get here, me and my buddy Keith, and our luggage didn't come. And so instead of being upset, we just knew that it would come. But for tomorrow, I'm going to need supplies, shaving. So we go to Walmart to get our things, and we walk in the door, and Keith has to go and get a whole bunch of stuff, and I got to get some stuff. And I see this guy that's sitting in this scooter, and I looked at him, and I said, hey, man. I said, what happened to you? He goes, I got a bunch of stuff wrong with me. I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. Well, can I pray for you? And he goes, no, you ain't going to pray for me. I'm okay. Like, I don't need no prayer. He believes in God, but, like, he doesn't want anything to do with that at all. And I shared my testimony a little with him, and he lightened up, and I said, come on, man, let me pray for you, man. He goes, all right. So I kneeled down on the ground, and I prayed for him and stuff, believing that Jesus is going to heal his body and touch him. And he's like, thank you very much. And I shared my heart a little bit with the girls, and he's like, all right, well, appreciate it. And he kind of went off on his way. And I immediately in my heart heard, I need to give this guy $100. So I run up to the register, and I withdraw $100. I walk up to him, and I go, let me see your hand. And,
hey, bro.
Hey.
Here. Mm-hmm. Hey.
That just did my life.
I do. Messed it up.
No, I fixed it, actually.
Yeah. I mean, in a good way. That's what I mean.
I appreciate that, man. I really do.
God spoke to me when we were over there. He said, I want you to give that man $100 to tell him I love him.
No, dude.
He loves
you.
Yeah. Can I give you a hug?
Yeah, hell yeah.
It doesn't matter what they say, but when they do say, this is an amazing thing, it's good because, it's an appreciation. And to you, it might not be a big deal to give your waitress $10, but it's a huge deal to them. If your food was 10 bucks and you tip them 10 bucks, it's totally crazy and they freak out because why would you do that? But because God loved the world he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. And me as a Christian, I want to be a giver.
So tell me this, because I know what I heard in my heart. He told me specifically that amount. Why did he say that?
Because I owe the insurance company $97 right now.
There it is.
God heard.
All the bills are paid except the insurance, man.
That's it, man. That's good. I just needed to know.
So then we walk on, and I got to go down and get some other stuff down there in the men's section. And I see this guy. I say, can you help us? And he's helping us. And I say, hey, man, before you go, man, I said, how's your back? Like, how's your body holding up, your knees and stuff?
Oh, my foot hurts all the time.
What happened?
Because I had surgery on it.
When?
long time ago. Yeah. 14, 15.
Which, your right foot?
Yeah.
What kind of surgery?
They put a screw in it.
Will you do me a favor?
What up?
Can I pray for your foot?
Sure,
don't let me be. Don't let me freak you out. Let me pray for your foot. All right.
I know.
Where's the pain at? In the top?
Yes.
Father, I thank you. It should be warm.
That's weird.
No. Come here. What does it feel like? It should
warm.
Be actually really warm.
It's really warm.
Right where the screw is.
Yeah.
What?
So like.
Check this dude out.
So I asked him if he had any pain, because you guys work hard, dude. And a lot of times backs are messed up because you're lifting all the time, right? So I just asked him about his foot, and it should be on fire right now, dude.
Yeah, it is.
Where the screw was. So we prayed for him, and I've watched Jesus do amazing miracles. We watched him take metal out of bodies, man.
Let this dude pray for you, man. Let him pray for you. It was just amazing because Jesus had this kid all like heated up with his presence.
I got pointers in my foot.
Where is it?
That pointer's fasciitis.
Oh, bro. Right foot?
Go for it, man.
Yeah,
it works, dude.
Come here, let me pray for you. What do you got to work? What do you got to worry about?
Just believe in it, man.
Father,
it's
I
crazy.
Thank you in Jesus' name. My whole foot's brand new foot right now.
It's weird, man. It's crazy.
Right now. That tonight when he takes that brace off, it's all gone. In Jesus' name.
I just feel a little better.
See, I told you, it's weird.
Yeah, it is warm.
I believe Jesus removed that screw. I believe that pain won't be there, and he'll be freaked out by it. Go to the doctors, and that screw will be gone. Won't that be awesome?
Well, watch. What do you think just happened to your foot?
That was weird. That's why it's blowing my mind, dude.
It's amazing.
I said, isn't that awesome? Where that screw was, it's hot. He goes, yeah. I said, well, you're a Christian? He goes, no, I'm a Wiccan. I said, hey, man, I said, I need to pray again for you. You mind if I pray for you? And I put my hand on his chest. I'm not threatened by it, man. You don't be threatened by witchcraft. We carry light. You don't be threatened by darkness.
Father, I thank you in Jesus' name.
Well, I hit it.
It's for real, man. Bro, he loves you, I promise, man.
Sometimes people say, well, why didn't you get him to pray the prayer? Why didn't you get him saved? Why didn't you do this? First of all, you don't get anybody saved. There's no way for you to get. We sow. We water. God brings the increase. God is the one that does the saving. We are his vessels. But I can't be so after their jugular vein that I'm not realizing that God's after their heart.
That thing will never trouble you again, bro.
It is. I hope not.
It's still on fire.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Bless you, man.
So I believe this. I believe that kid's going to go home, both of them. I believe they're going to go home, and I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be up all night. And what he'll do is say, I love you. I've always loved you. That man was from me. He was a messenger. He loves you. And I don't believe they'll be able to get out of it. And I always pray after I touch somebody, if I don't see them come to Jesus, I always pray, God, send forth laborers into the harvest field, right where they are. God, let them be totally swamped with Christians that love God. Let them be surrounded. Let other people water where I just sowed. God, bring increase, bring increase, bring increase. I have faith in seed. I have faith that God says when the seed is sown, it grows up. I have faith that somebody's will that's dominated by lies and principalities has nothing on someone's will that's possessed by truth and hopes the best. I just believe that his free will that's blinded by lies cannot dominate my will that is possessed by the truth that God wants all people to be saved and that they come to the knowledge of him.
He took the love of God to those people, not the word, the love of God to those people, and he healed them. He allowed God to heal them. And this is where Christians really mess up. You think you have to throw the book at them, you know, throw the word at them and just drive it into them, and that turns them away. Take the love of God, allow God to speak to you and tell you what they do need, and then give them that. And just like he said, he planted the seed. Somebody else come along to water and water the seed, and somebody else will come along and harvest the seed. Christians today, people sitting in the house of God, they want the glory for that soul. They want to say, look how many people we got saved today. And you know, when you go to churches and they have 100 people come running to the front and they say the sinner's prayer, they say, look how many people we got saved today. Did you really? Just because they said the sinner's prayer does not say, they tell you they were changed. I've seen that too much in churches. And the people walk away just as lost and confused as they were when they ran up to the altar. Because the anointing wasn't there to saturate them and to change them.
Jesus, you lose your life for the gospel. You either give it to him or you keep it back from him. There's a spirit of fear that tries to encapsulate the church to keep her from walking in the spirit of love and power and a sound mind.
How does fear get cast out? By the perfect love of God. Unless you know and understand that you've been loved perfectly and you're loved perfectly, that spirit of fear is intact. And it tries to stop you from being bold for God.
In Jesus' name, let her go. In Jesus' name, right now.
Witness to people because God loves people because God loves me. Why do I share the gospel? Because I'm supposed to. Yeah, well, that's because you're an evangelist. No, I'm a believer. It says that believers will tell all creation. There is no in between, guys. There's no gray area. This isn't just I want Jesus a little bit. This is all or none. This is surrender or not surrender. You're a target for the enemy when you don't surrender. You incorporate Jesus in just so you can act like a Christian. You're really a hypocrite. People are going to hell because of your life.
He has more thoughts for me than outnumber those grains of sand in the whole world, and every thought's for my welfare. Every thought. For the person that you love the most, try to take a handful of sand and pick out grain at a time and come up with things about them. See how far you get. Do you know that your name is Christian? It's not just Shun, it's Christian. One anointed by God. One in which the Holy Spirit dwells in. And He wants to rest upon you. So that you can destroy hell for a living. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those that don't think they know it all, but are teachable. Blessed are those that are not arrogant and think they know everything. Blessed are those that are teachable by the teacher. Blessed are those. Like He gave us two commandments. Love God with all my heart, my soul, my strength, my mind. And love my neighbor as myself. They are the two commandments that He told us to follow. If you love God with all your mind, your hand can't cause you to sin. All of those who desire to live godly, not to preach godly, not to talk godly, but to live godly, will suffer persecution. God says this in the Beatitudes, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When you're right standing with God,
You get persecuted for it. You get made fun of. People make fun of you. People mock you and scoff you. And people say all kinds of mean things against you. For my name's sake, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. It's a reward. Great is your reward in heaven. Sickness is from the devil. You're going to see that in just a few minutes because God's going to sweep through and heal people because he can. He wants us to know how much he loves us. He's a good God. He's good. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. What we're saying is I surrender all to Jesus. We're not saying I'm giving you a little bit. I'm saying I'm not taking back my life. You can have it all. God wants to use you to heal the sick. God wants to use you to cast out devils. God wants to use you to cleanse the lepers. God wants to use you to raise the dead. God wants to use you to preach the gospel to the poor. This is a call to say, I'm done living for me, and I want to burn with Jesus for the rest of my life here. And I want to make a difference in people's paths every day. When people walk by me, I want to give them the glorious gospel.
So we had this one guy come through, this one young kid. He's like a big bodybuilder kid. Comes through, and I heard the Lord say that he told his brother before he was going through, I'm going to prove this is a bunch of junk. The kid said,
oh, wow.
He comes through like this, comes through, and God hits this kid like, and it, I mean, he spins in a circle and hits the ground. This kid is on the ground. He tries to get up. He can't walk. And then God blinded him and took his sight away. And the Holy Spirit just sucker punched him, and the love of God. The kid's on the ground. He's on the ground, and he's like, he can't see. And I went, are you okay? He goes, I can't see. Please tell me why I can't see. I said, because you've been blind, but you're going to get up seeing, son. I said, you've doubted God. You came through this tunnel doubting God, but you're going to go out on fire with Jesus. He goes, okay, just give me my sight back. I said, I'm not. God's the one. He'll give you your sight back, man. And the kid got up, and the next night, he came up. He was one of the first kids to come up. My whole life is in. I'm done. This thought when I went to bed, that have faith in God. You know, I'm crying out for more. I want to see more breakthrough. I want to see people healed every time we touch them. I want to see blind see, the deaf hear. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see paralytics get out of wheelchairs. I want to see all that, the dead raise, all of it. And it's not having faith in my faith, it's having faith in God. So he's just all night long speaking to me, just that one scripture. They had faith in God, and I couldn't get to sleep, and I kept tossing and turning, but this one thing, and I know it was God keeping me awake. And when I got to Rhema, when I got there to speak, I realized this is why. Jesus, he curses the fig tree, and he's supposing that there might be fruit. Goes up there, and there's no fruit on the tree. A Christian from a distance looks like a Christian, but when you get up close, do they have fruit that bears witness of what kind of tree they really are? He curses it, and may no one eat fruit from you again, ever. Guys, come on, have faith in God, for if you speak to this mountain, be removed. So I need to shift and turn my faith to God, because we need to speak to mountains and they need to move, man. They need to leave. We need to not have mountains hang around once we've told them to get out. Jesus never gave anybody an excuse. He never told anybody why it didn't move, because it always left. It always moved. As Christians, we come up with a lot of reasons why people aren't healed or why this mountain's still there. I want to be like him. I don't want to have excuses. Jesus said, you have faith in God. I need to step it up, press in, go after intimacy and relationship with my Father.
I'm on a lung transplant list, but I believe in God because he's paid for it for me.
He's always...
my healing, and all things are possible.
Amen.
He's the healer, and tonight I checked my oxygen level, and it's never been at 97%, so I actually had to turn it down.
Good.
Tonight, after
praying. That's so awesome. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to share Jesus everywhere. I love that I have found out that it's not just for pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. I am really, really thankful that the Bible says these signs will follow them that believe. That means that if you're a believer, you're in. It's you. It's yours. You are the only one that limits you, because God did not limit you. I need to jump in with everything I am. I can't afford to hold back for such time as this. That's who you are in your workplace. That's who you are in your school. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're at. No one limits you. Take the chains off of our Father. How can you light up the world if you can't light up your own house? The only reason you couldn't light up your house is if you have a basket on your head. Because you're allowing the things around you to determine the Christ within you. You're allowing the squeeze to determine what you can manifest. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. But you can't walk in love and power without a sound mind. Sound mind comes from the renewing of your mind, from the Word of God, from the truth of God's Word. He wants me to represent Him. He paid a high price for me. If I see my value in me, then I'll see your value in you. Oh, love God with all my heart. And what people say won't determine what I'm going to walk out. I'm going to walk out what God says, because I don't fear man, I fear God. Would you be a warrior? Would you pick up a rock and go after the giant? Would you live your life in Christ and realize that God is for you and not against you? Would you slay a giant so that people could follow you and blaze a trail of faith, man, so that we could walk bold before the Lord and crush hell so that the armies of God could see somebody that walks in victory, that annihilates the devil?
Well, what do you have to say for yourself? That's all I can say. I want to bring this forth to show you something. He was messed up. God got a hold of him, got radically saved, radically anointed, and God sent him forth. Too many people are trying to go forth and do this healing without doing all the steps that he just told you about. You have to sell yourself out totally and completely 100% to God, or God can't use you. You have to quit thinking about yourself all the time and how you don't have what you believe you should have. You just have to be and allow God to work through you. And this is why whatever God's called you into, you're not there yet, because you have not sold out 100% to God. You're still holding on to that piece of self that wants to be satisfied. And God can't use you. I know God placed this in front of me, because I really thought it was a song. And when I watched it, I said, wow, this is awesome, what this man is saying. If you can't get what he said, you'll never get what I say. If you can't grab a hold of the truth of God's word he went out there even though his wife was persecuting him. He went out there and still did the work of the Father. He went out there in faith in God, not in himself, not in his charisma, but faith in God, that God was going to set the people free. Now, you know, in this new 40 years that we're in, we are no longer fighting demons. We're fighting the most powerful demons that's in hell. We're not fighting the little pinions. We're fighting the biggest ones there are. The world is getting darker and darker, and it's going to continue to get darker and darker. You're going to have to do what he says. You're going to pick up the stone and slay the giant so that others can follow you. And he said that you have to, first of all, get your own household cleaned up. If you don't have a light, then you have a basket over your head. And if your children are still being rebellious, then there's something wrong in your home. I'm not saying something wrong with you, but there's a spirit in your home that's trying to rule and reign in your house. Now, years ago when I was first saved, my family thought I just totally lost my mind. Yeah, you know, when I became born again. And I was, you know, and God was just using me in radical ways. And one day there was something going on in my kitchen and the whole family was there. And God said, you make the devil leave your kitchen right now. If you don't, he will always rule in your house. Well, I stood there and I looked at my husband and all my children. And I'm thinking, they already think I'm crazy. So what did I do? I walked out of the kitchen. And so the devil has always ruled in my house. That was my fault. Isn't that what happened with David? God told him there would always be strife in his home because he didn't tend to a matter he should have tended to. Well, that's why I have the things going on in my home. It's not because my light isn't bright. It's because I did not obey God. Every one of you in here need to, boy, I mean, it's something that, you know, I just think about a lot. I can't go back and obey God. It's done. It's over. Now I have to fight. I have to fight to keep some sort of peace in my home. Some of you just sit down at this. If your eyeball aches, you sit down. If somebody doesn't look at you right, what kind of Christian are they? You know, you need to get out of offense, and you need to get in Christ, and you need to be strong in the Lord and stay there. I don't mean one day in and one day out. That does not work. He told you the same as I've been preaching, the same as the Bible says, there's no gray area. You're either in Christ or you're not. You either sold out to God 100% and live for him 100% or you don't. It's just that simple. God said this is the time he's separating and dividing. You're either wheat or you're tare. You can't be part wheat and part tare. It doesn't work. And as a farmer, you know that you can get too many tares in your wheat field and mess your wheat field up. I used to farm too. And so you have to keep all the weeds out of your wheat field so you have a good harvest. So what are you going to do tonight? This dispensation that we're in right now the door's getting ready to close totally and completely, and the new door's getting ready to open in the new year. And if you don't get it right, the door is going to be closed on you. The altar call this evening is for you to really and truly get immersed in God. When you get up off that floor, if you come up here, you need to be changed. You need to be rearranged. You need to be totally, completely different. And when you walk out that door, you don't pick up your old lifestyle. You walk the way Jesus Christ walked, totally and completely. Because if he truly touches you, then the anointing is going to be there for you to stay changed. Come on, give him the gift of yourself tonight. Jesus gave you a gift of his self while on the cross. Now you give him a gift of yourself tonight.